morning, church. It is beautiful to see all of you this morning. I'm excited for the word and where we're going to go today. My name is Pierre, for those of you who don't know me, and it's my joy to be leading this community. And we are in an exciting series. If you guys can remember what I spoke about last week. You went right for it, right? I knew that someone was going to say ice cream, or I was hoping someone would say gelato. And I know that by getting feedback from my business partners, I've recently invested into some ice cream initiatives in the Helderberg, and it was very profitable last Sunday. So things worked out well. So listen well to what I'm preaching today, because I need to make a little bit more money. It's all just jokes. I didn't speak about ice cream. I spoke about worship. And we started this series called All of Life is Worship. It's more than a song. And today we're going to continue, and for the next few weeks we're going to continue, and we're going to look not just only at the heartbeat of worship like we did last week, but we're going to transition and actually look into the reasons why we do some things that we do in church as believers, as followers of Jesus. Because sometimes we just kind of grow up doing the things, or we go to church and people do things, and the next moment you find yourself doing things. But it is good for us to stop and to consider why. So this morning we're going to talk about singing. Why do we sing? What's the reason for singing? Do we need to sing? There's so many questions that come to mind when we think about it, because it's something we clearly do as those who follow Jesus, because every week, at least 20 to 30 minutes of our time is about singing God's praises. And this morning, we're going to find out why. Why do we do that? It's not just to make the time up and to get everyone through the doors that's late for church so that they can hear the message and go home. It's not to entertain us. There's real biblical reason to sing. And I want to start with a very solid statement to say that it's in our nature to sing because God sings. Zephaniah 3, verse 17. Yahweh, your God, is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. Isn't that beautiful? We are made in the image of God, and one of those things that He's given us is to sing. Now, you don't need to have an incredible voice or have gone for vocal training to be able to sing. Last night, South Africa showed us that anyone can sing, anyone can shout. We all have it in us, but God placed that desire and that ability in us. In fact, the longest book in the Bible is called Psalms, which means sacred songs. We were made to sing. And we said last week that today in our modern day world, we think of worship as singing, or when we think worship, we think music. And worship is everything. It's all of life. It's what we do in every moment of life is either worship or not. But how amazing that God has given us this ability to sing. So today, to help us understand a little bit more about why we sing, I'm going to quickly go to the first ever song recorded in the Bible. And then we're going to look at a few things, and then I am going to invite our own worship leaders forward, and we're going to have a little bit of a conversation about singing and what it means and how we do it and why we do it and all the things around us. The very first song that we find in Scripture is a song of Moses. And I like that, because nowhere else have we been told that Moses is this amazing musician like David, you know? Or he had the singing voice, or he's gone for opera training. But Moses sang. This guy who was stuttering was singing, and he penned the very first song in the Bible. Exodus 15 opens up this beautiful psalm of praise to God. The people of God have just been in hundreds of years of slavery. God has set them free. He's brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they walk towards the promised land. He sets up a pillar of fire, and he sets up a cloud by day, and they get to the Red Sea, and they stress. Isn't that what we do? We see the miracles of what God has done, and when we get to the next thing, we stress. As if God will suddenly drop us. who's brought us that far, and then he stops working in our lives. We look to Jesus, like Melinda said this morning, the beginner and the perfecter of our faith. And they stand in front of the sea, and then the sea parts. You guys know the story, right? It opens up. They walk through the sea. They get onto dry ground at the other side. And as the Egypt armies come into the Red Sea, it closes down. And they are free. They truly are free. And out of that, Exodus 15 is this beautiful song that's then sung. I wonder why. Because as I said, it's not recorded that he was a musician. He didn't necessarily sing usually. I mean, he had some other stuff to do, right? Lead people and speak to people. And he wasn't a very public persona. He needed God to convince him that he can actually do this. So why on earth would this guy who was very uncertain whether he actually wants to be the guy that helps to lead the people of God and with fear and trembling face Pharaoh and he's walked this journey, why would he even think about singing? And I think it's purely because something happened inside of Moses' soul that he couldn't contain. When those waters parted and he looked back and he said, once and for all, we've gone through and we are free, his spirit just responded with singing. It is just that God is so good. I cannot help but raise my voice in praise of Him. Singing is an outward reaction of an inward reality. It's an outward expression of everything that's happening inside of my soul when I think about my God. So let's read a few verses. We're not going to read the whole song of Moses, but I want to look at a few things. Exodus 15, verses 1 to 3. Then Moses said to the people of Israel, then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. The Lord is my God, and I will praise him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. I want to remind you, church, this morning, when you see Lord, capital L-O-R-D, it is the name Yahweh. So we should be reading it like that. Yahweh is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. Yahweh is a man of war. Yahweh is his name, because he has a name and he is a personal God. And when he saved his people through this, they burst out singing. And then the last verse, powerfully, of this song they sing concludes, the Lord will reign forever and ever. After everything we've seen, after all the words we've sung, after everything we've been through, let it be said and let it be sung and let it be known that there's one name on the throne, and that is the name Yahweh, and he reigns and rules forever. All our songs conclude in this thought. This is the chorus of all worship, that God reigns, that God is in control, that God is to be praised. What I love about this is that Moses didn't just sing a battle song. I'm sure that historically and through the story of God's people and how nations were fighting, there probably would have been some battle songs that have been existing in culture. And what I love about this is that Moses didn't all of a sudden become a scientific guru that says, no, you know what, the east wind came in such a way that when it hit the waters of the Red Sea and the force that happened, the whole sea parted. You know, you've heard some of those explanations. No, it can't be. The sea can't part. It happens. But maybe because of the mountains and the air pressure, you know, he didn't go into that route. He also didn't go into any animism, thinking that now, like the pagan gods, surely nature is something to be worshipped. It starts off by saying that Moses sang to the Lord. Who did he sing to? Who do we sing to when we worship? Do we sometimes sing for ourselves? Or to ourselves? Or to the fact that 3 weeks from now, last night will be a distant memory? Or to one another because it's a lacquer? See, all of those things are good gifts. that we get to enjoy, but it's not the giver. And worship is about the giver of the gifts, not the gifts. So Moses sang to the Lord. And I try to imagine this, leading hundreds and thousands of people out of this moment. What did it look like for him? No microphone, no band to strike up, no 5-day conference to plan. It's costing you millions and booking the CTICC. And saying, now that all of this is done, now let's sing to the Lord. When this happened, he just sang to the Lord. I can imagine that maybe he just stood there quietly by himself and he started singing these lyrics. And the Spirit of God rushed upon his people. And the voices started joining in because it wasn't about any production moment, any perfect sounding moment. It was just God's people expressing gratitude of what he has done. Who do you sing to when you worship? 1 Samuel 17, David goes to face Goliath. And he goes there worshiping. Because as he enters the arena with the terrible giant that is facing him, that everyone else is trying to not even face, he goes there saying, I came in the name of Yahweh, the Lord of hosts, giant. God will deliver you into my hand. Who will deliver you? Not me, because I'm such a great fighter. God will deliver you into my hand. Let all the earth know that there is a God in Israel, for the battle belongs to Yahweh. David goes to the battlefield, praising God, and then he kills Goliath, and the story changes. All of a sudden, the woman started praising David. And they made a big mistake, because suddenly David was praised more than King Saul. When our praise is in the wrong place, striving takes place. All of a sudden, there was this striving between David and Saul because the people were worshiping them as leaders, not worshiping Yahweh like David did. Later on, we read about how David was worshiping just completely free before God in his presence and how he was judged for that. So, how do we worship? Who do we worship when we sing? Do we sing a little louder this morning because, yes, last night was great? Or do we sing loud because God is great? And that's enough. Even if last night wasn't great, even if our country continues to be in such a ridiculously hard place, will we sing because He is the God who reigns forever and ever? Three things that we read in this few verses about singing. Singing glorifies God for what He has done. That's what our singing is all about. I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. Not us, not the fact that we battle our fear and put our foot in the Red Sea and it parted and we got through to the other side. You see, so many times it's so comfortable and easy for us to put praise to ourselves and to one another, but we've got to think a little higher and get our praises to where it belongs. God made us triumph gloriously. So singing is an opportunity to glorify God for what He has done. C.S. Lewis beautifully said this. He says, we enjoy singing God's praises. Get this. Because the praise is not merely an expression, but it completes the enjoyment. So it's not just, yes, thank you, Lord. The victory isn't enough. There's a deeper enjoyment. There's a deeper opportunity when this happens. It's not just, we don't praise just to express, but it brings a completion to the enjoyment of the victory that we have already received. And if we terminate just by, oh, thank goodness I got through this, and never open our hearts and mouths to sing to Him, we miss out on so much. Second thought I want to share with you is that singing delights in who God is. It delights in God for who he is, not in what I am and now I have gone through this, now we have gone. No, it's singing about God. It says in the Song of Moses, he is my strength, he is my song, he is my salvation. This is my God, I will praise him. I am heartbroken again. I said this last week, but I'm heartbroken by the modern Christian world that makes singing about me and my ideas and, ooh, my feelings and my experiences. No, guys, it's about him. We delight in him. We think about him, and then our hearts raise us with praise because he is just that crazy amazing. Sure. Come on, can we get there? We are so, God, you're amazing. And our soul starts singing. Singing glorifies God for what he has done. Singing delights in God for who he is. And then the last thing is, singing declares God's goodness one to another. That's why we do it every week. We come in here to sing of the great things he has done for us through this week when we saw one another last week and a whole week on and he kept us and we can be here. Then we say, yo, but he is amazing. And we think about him and the lyrics of our songs help us think to him. And I hope that it's biblical lyrics that we can sing truth about him. And then we get to do this together. Because sometimes I stand next to Brother Mario and I don't feel like singing that much. But oh boy, when he opens his mouth and he shouts at the top of his lungs, I get some of that. And I'm like, yes, I want to worship God like that. That's what we are invited to. And that's the reason why we sing. Now you've heard too much from me. I'm with further ado going to ask Almery and Helena and Sergio to come join me. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this idea of singing together as a church. There you go. Awesome. Can we give them a hand? Makes it less awkward. As they get ready and settled in, I'm so grateful that God has blessed us with music leaders like these and the entire team who really do this for the glory of God. And I've often battled with this idea of like, let's give the band a hand, you know? Because I'm like, because I know their hearts, they don't want a hand. They just want to do what they do. But you know what? I do want to celebrate our musicians from times because of that very reason. The very fact that it's really about God. I love that there's mistakes in our music. I love that, voices break. I love that sometimes, although there's a click in their ears, for those of you who don't know what a click is, there's a metronome going click, 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 so that they all stay in the same time. Because it's hard when people from different walks of life, all of a sudden, they haven't played together for months because it's been different groups and we've got to sound the same. But I love that it's not about performance, but about God's praises. So I want to ask you guys a few questions because I know what the Bible says and how I feel about this idea of singing. But Almery, let me start with you. Why do you love worship through singing personally?
Right, yeah. For me, singing is all about communication. It's a way of communicating. When Pierre asked me to talk this morning, I really just wanted to sing my answers more than talk it because
We're ready.
On that note, no. Because I think it comes naturally for me. I was born into a singing family. We were singing when we were sad. We were singing when we were happy. It's communication for me, but it is also a gift that was given to me and that I feel I need to use also to lead the congregation. So for me, singing is definitely communication that comes natural, but it's because that gift that God put in my heart as well. And I was born into it, I think, but definitely for the purpose of the family, of the bigger family as well.
Did everyone in your family that sing together had like amazing voices, or that we just all, maybe it's a yes, and that's great. You get those families, right?
I think it is a yes. That's yeah, awesome. We don't all use it, but I think a lot of them are just naturally inclined to singing. Yes.
That's great. I love how you said we sang when we were sad. That's what David did. So many of the Psalms, he's just like, God, this is hard. And he sings his pain to God. We don't just have to sing happy, clappy songs. We can sing sad songs. Sometimes we've got to lament the pain that we are in. And talking about songs and choosing songs for a congregation, Leon, I want to ask you, what do you look at when you pick a song? Obviously, singability is important. Everyone needs to be able to actually somehow follow the song. So there's the music aspect, but then the lyrics also. So what are your kind of things that you look at when you say, are we going to sing this song in church or not? Because there's so many songs, right?
Yes, you mentioned something very important earlier. It's about biblical songs, firstly. That's what I wrote down, theologically correct songs. That's why it's so awesome to also have a few theologians in church. I can always go and check. Sometimes it's beautiful poetic words, but it's maybe just a little bit not as clear communicating the truth. So, yeah, I think that's very important. And like you also said, Pia, you stole my points. Yeah, that's fine. But God-focused songs, praise-focused songs. I think for me personally, there is times when you listen to songs in a devotional type of way, and it speaks to you in that season that you're in, and you can listen to it in your car. But I think mostly as a congregation, singing corporately, singing together, it really is God-focused, Jesus-centered songs. You don't want to be singing some songwriter's opinion. I heard a well-known worship leader say that once, and it really stuck with me. Like, we don't want to sing someone's opinion or someone's personal experience. We want to sing the truth. We want to sing the word. So that's what I choose. And also occasionally, I know we say that it's not about us, but it's so amazing when how God is so faithful that when we focus, it's like this kingdom focus. Seek the kingdom first and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto you. That he always comes and meet our needs as well. He loves us. He's a beautiful, relational God. He doesn't want us to just be little robots singing to him. He comes and he meets us, and that's beautiful. So sometimes there is songs that I pick as well when I know, okay, as a church, I know individuals, many individuals may be going through personal things, and we're in a season and a certain theme about the sermon, and I will pick songs as well according to that as well.
But, yeah. That's great.
Can I add to that quickly?
Yeah, please.
I think I just want to say that's so incredible that as a team we can be led that way. Because when I think of songs and song selection, I think of people stepping into church, and maybe for the first time they'll find themselves in that setting, and they're going to go home, maybe going to forget what was preached, but they can remember the songs that were sung. And I remember growing up, I couldn't for the life of me remember what was preached. But I went home singing.
Unless you speak about ice cream.
Yeah. But I remember, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
That's great.
And I think what a great way for us to just establish good doctrine, lead people to Jesus, because they might not remember what we say, but they will really remember what we sang. And I think that, for me, is so powerful, and it's great that we lead that way.
That's a good point.
And also, I think sometimes we repeat lyrics over and over in a song, like this morning, God is so good, God is so good, God is so good. And it's almost like you only realize it the more you sing it. And sometimes you think, why are we repeating this chorus over and over? But it is for those words to get stuck. And the first time you sing it with your mind, and then you sing it with your heart, and it sinks in. And the more you sing it, the more you believe it. And you can even proclaim it, even if you don't feel it. So for me, that's lyrics.
I want to ask you, Leona, you said something, and she's building on that. But sometimes we just put on worship music, as we classify it, and we just listen. But surely we need to move to actually singing. Why? We can't just be hearing. Like, what happens, and I know we didn't script this, but I think like the Lord is putting my, and either any of you can answer, what, because I've been done that before. I'm like, put up some Christian music, and then half an hour later, like, I've worshipped. And yes, worship is more than me singing. We've said that. But something happens when I open my mouth and the sound comes out.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said. Something happens when you open your mouth, when you sing, when you take that step. I think also it's stepping out of your own comfort zone, stepping out of your own. It's like reading the word aloud as well. It's the same concept. Great. I feel sometimes you read softly and it's good and you read the word, but when you read it out loud, your voice, your ears hear it, your voice is doing the action, your body is participating. And we are mind, body, spirit. We are all facets. So our bodies also partake in worship. It's not just something, it is very significant happening in the spirit. That's the most important. But sometimes we need to activate it in the flesh, in our bodies. Mm. It's like, I'm reminded of a scripture in Romans. It's our bodies let's offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. And I think taking that step and like, it's not comfortable for me to sing. It's not comfortable for me to clap or lift my hands. Even though I do believe it's naturally in our DNA, like that's how God created us to do it. You see atheists in a sports stadium lifting up their hands naturally without even thinking, or in a music concert that's not even Christian or religious, and people lift their hands. Why? Because we are created like that. That's to great. Do it. We created, it's in our making. Our maker created us like that. And so when we worship him, our bodies respond to him as well. And I think when we take that step, I think a lot of times the enemy wants to hold us back and like, ugh, no, it's so uncomfortable, it's so awkward, like clapping, no. And it's actually holding us back keeping us comfortable. The moment we step out and say, I'm going to sing this, I'm going to proclaim this, hearing the truth, and the truth is setting me free, it really brings freedom. That's and great. Yeah, so I think it's a natural thing that we should do. We've made it unnatural in our intellect.
Can I build on that as well, please? If I think of that point that you also spoke about earlier, if we are choosing biblical songs, then if we are, let's say, singing the word, if the word is alive and active, and also if the power of life and death lies in the tongue, and we have a choice, why wouldn't we sing and bring life and proclaim the word of the Lord and sing that over ourselves, over our brothers and sisters, over our community, whatever it is? I think my question is a question like, why wouldn't I sing that? Huh? Why wouldn't I? I remember my mother, and I love my mother, but my mother doesn't sing so lekker, you know? Like, my mother doesn't sing so lekker, and I would sometimes have to, like, you know, just stand next to her in church. But my mother knows it, and my mother won't allow the fact that she can't sing on key to hold her back from singing, because we've just seen the goodness of the Lord. And when we sing about Jehovah Jireh or whoever God is, come on, that lady can't keep quiet. So I think, why wouldn't we want to sing if we are declaring life and speaking about who God is? So.
So, Joe, I want to go a little bit deeper in your journey, because you grew up in quite a traditional environment, and now you're in something that we still hold to biblical tradition and all of that, but the expression of how we sing is much different than what you used to. Do you want to share a little bit about that transition for you?
Yeah, I think when I grew up, you know, our worship for us was like this, there was a liturgy, so at this point in the service, you're going to stand and sing that. Then you're going to sit and this is going to happen. Then you're going to stand and you sing that. And it was very traditional. And I mean, I didn't know the Lord, but there was a part of me, like in that sense, you know, my flesh was like, you know, yeah, we are doing it right. You know, we are doing this. We've got order. And when I would see people in a more charismatic, contemporary setting, I was like, nah, you guys are not doing this right. You know? And then I got out of that traditional space. And I encountered Jesus for the first time. And then I was like, yo, us traditional people back then, nah, we weren't doing it right. It was like, droog, you know. But then if I think of, you know, Jesus encountering like the woman at the well, and then they start, she wants to strike up this debate. My people say we worship, yeah. Your people say we need to worship there. And they go on this worship debate. And then Jesus is like, you know what? The time is coming where true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And one thing I need to say about my traditional background, like, we used to sing beautiful hymns that were, oh my goodness, it was amazing. Like, it spoke about this God that we serve, and it was just so beautiful, but it was a bit droog sometimes. And then I got, I guess, into a contemporary setting where, for myself personally, I prioritized the fact that the music was great or that lyric was a bit poetic. But if I think about it, there was a moment for me when I got saved, when my spirit connected with God's spirit, and then doesn't matter whether it was a traditional contemporary style, I was able to worship in spirit and declare the truth through that. And for me, looking back now, whether I'm in a traditional setting or contemporary setting, if I'm not connected with God in spirit, it's just words, it's just clanging cymbals. So for me, it's like, I love that that traditional upbringing just sets such a great foundation, but I'm glad also that I have the freedom to express my worship to God in a way that He has created me. So I think it's spirit and truth, man. Like,
that's great.
Yeah.
I think you saying something that's so important is we live in a world where everything needs to be polarized. I'm on this side or I'm on that side. I see it like this. And that's what Jesus did in this moment. You know what? It's not about the way. It's about the Father being worshipped truthfully and spirit-filled. Then it's okay. If you are a little bit more quiet, that's right. If you're a little bit more exuberant, that's right. If the Father is worshipped, and He's the only one that truly knows hearts, right?
Yeah.
Who are we to say, who am I to do that? Or that church down the road, like that worship. We all do it, right? But God sees the hearts. He knows if the worship in there is spirit and truth worship. And sometimes we get into this church wars of like old songs and new songs and like that, and this is for Bay. And I think it's such an important thing. Talking about different context, Elmery, you also a performing singer. What's the difference between being out there and singing? Just songs, performing, singing some stuff that people know, and then here on a Sunday, and you pick up your guitar and you lead the congregation. Is there a difference for you? How do you experience those two worlds?
Yes, there's a big difference. The focus when you go to sing at a wedding or at a restaurant or whatever, the focus is the people. So it's all about, is it too loud for them or too soft? You know, are we singing songs that's familiar or not? So I pick the songs so that it fits with the crowd or with the venue. So it's all about the people. It's entertainment. That's what it is. So and some people will come to me and say, "Oh, you're too loud. You know, I need to go softer." So I just need to do whatever they want to please them. So it's quite hard because you also have to change a lot in terms of your environment. So yeah, and I like sad songs. The sad songs say so much. But they don't entertain that much. So, again, you have to sing not necessarily what's in your heart, but what is wanted from the people. And that's much different from here. Here, our focus is on God, not what we want, what He wants, where we want to lead the congregation to, which for me is ultimately connecting with God somewhere in the song set. Everyone's on a different journey, but in the end, us as a worship team want to lead them so that they can some way just have that connection with God and have a moment with God in worship.
Sergio, you help run the running here of church. Surely, yeah, we also think about, is it too loud? Do the people like the songs? So I'm convinced that what Elmery is feeling isn't just out there. It can easily be here.
Yeah.
Have you felt that?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, if I don't fight my flesh, then I'm like, I really want people to come back. I really want people to enjoy the service. And, I really want people to feel the vibe in worship. But then there's those moments where Holy Spirit is like, well, but I do that. And it's a privilege for you to be used to get things set up and things. But, yeah, I think there is sometimes that tension. But at the end of the day, I think for us as a team, the goal is always, we're not going to take the place of the Holy Spirit, but we're going to put our faith in Him, that whether we're singing an unfamiliar song or we have a full band and there's an electric guitar, that people won't be touched by the electric guitar, but by the Holy Spirit. So
there's a joke that says, amazing bass, how sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. Coming from a bassist.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think there is a temptation, and we would be lying if we say that that's not a consideration at times. But I think at the end of the day, we remember we need to be obedient to God and how He wants to lead, and just trust that His Spirit is impacting us as a family.
Have you felt personally that tension of wanting to perform on a Sunday versus just and how do you, like, of course, yeah. Like, but how do you process through that? I guess I did so well. And
So, you know, Elmarie is like, you know, a performer. I used to be a big time performer in church, bro. I didn't know the Lord, and I loved music. I grew up and I just had this passion for music. And unlike Elmarie, my family weren't necessarily the people that would jam with me. So there was a band in church, joined the band, played along, and I performed, man. Like, I loved it. And I think one of my biggest insecurities, you know, when it came to, like, worship and this, was like, how do I sound? Yo, I'm not the best musician. Like, oh, my vocals aren't so great and all these things. And then I realized, like, wow, I'm performing. But, like, when I got saved, I was still performing because I'm like, oh, you know, this is so nice and it's music and you got to perform and all these things. But I think, yeah, a couple of years ago, like, God really, like, touched me in a profound way to say that, like, I'm not performing for Him, you know. My performance and the way I strum my guitar and sing, like, He couldn't care less what it sounds like. Like, He is so focused on my heart. And I think my performance got in the way of my heart connecting with God and God actually healing me and, you know, restoring me. And it was when I got to that space where I realized, like, do you know what? God loves the way my mother sings. Surely He can love the way I sing. And then it didn't matter what anyone in the auditorium, like, or anyone in the space, like, if I hit that note that is really bad or my voice breaks, like, cool, Lord, I'm worshiping You, and I couldn't care what that sounds like. So, yeah, and I'm not going to lie, like, it's not now, cool, got the T-shirt, here we go, I'm sorted now. It's something that on a week-by-week basis, when I get scheduled and I see my name on that schedule, I need to be like, Lord, humble me today, because I want to perform, but my spirit wants to worship You more, you know?
That's great.
The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So I've got to bring that before God every single time.
I want to ask you something, Ileana, when you lead us as a congregation, because there's diversity in this room from many angles. There's older people and younger people. There's people from different walks of life, different ethnicities, people from different church backgrounds, and we all do it differently. I sing super loud, and I've said sorry before because I might be a little bit more like Sergio's mom sometimes, and I hope I am. And then, but others are maybe a little bit more quiet. Some shout, some whistle, some clap, some bow. Is there an expectation, a general, like, you should at least do this? Because, again, I feel like some people might feel, if I don't do that, I'm not worshiping. Or some people are like, why aren't they doing it? Like, so is there an expectation?
It's good beer, because I think we can actually create so much religion or humanly expectations, and in that even if you look very free and expressive and loud, you can actually also be very It's that scripture that says, you praise me with your lips, but your heart are far from me. You get that. So just want to start by saying that being more expressive is amazing, and it's lekker and it's vibey, but it's not necessarily more spiritual. Everyone has a different way of expressing their worship. And that's okay. And I think when I was younger, maybe I would have felt like, oh, come on, I just wish, you know, people would sing louder or clap or whatever. But now there's not necessarily that great expectation anymore. I trust that God will work in people's hearts. And like you say, what's happening internally, I need to trust God more for what's happening internally in people's hearts when we sing and when we worship, that God will do the work inside of them. Because it doesn't help that I psych everyone up. Come on, clap, clap, clap. Come on, guys. No, let's do this. And I know I do that sometimes. I'll get there just now. But my biggest prayer is that people's hearts will be connected with God. And that, yes, later on that will be an expression. And for some people, it's a bigger expression when it comes out. And for other people, it's a smaller expression. And that's okay. Mm. There is the other side of it where we see many times instances in the Bible where God commands us to express. Mm. He commands us to shout. He commands us to take up this worship weapon of warfare and to sing out loud and to clap our hands and to lift our hands. He does command us, and we have to be obedient in that. So there are times when we're going to encourage one another. Come on, guys, sing on the top of your lungs. Like, sing it out. Lift up your hands. And it's that command and that's where you see the breakthrough and the freedom and the victory. But it's not always if you don't do it, then, you know, it's not like we're standing here checking everyone and like, oh, you know, okay, that person, he still needs a revelation of God. Now, I've seen people standing still in God's presence, and they have a deep, deep connection and revelation of who God is. So that's really great. Is about the heart, and that's the prayer.
You said something that I want us to talk about for a moment about, hey, let's clap our hands, let's shout. There is something of corporate worship that's so important. Because no one is going to tell you in your living room, and you've got wholehearted playing, that, hey, clap your hands, shout, raise your voice. Why corporate worship? What is the significance of being in a room and being led to certain places of expression? What happens in corporate worship that is different than just me and Jesus in my living room?
Unity. Where two or more are gathered.
That's great.
In His name, there He is present. He works. Also proclaiming and speaking out the same truth out loud at the same time. It's interesting when you think of it, when someone preaches or teaches or someone reads a scripture, that's fine. You have spectators or people listening and you agreeing in your heart. But when we all sing together the same words at the same time, there's power in that. Mm. There's power in everyone singing out loud the same truth, proclaiming God's glory. And something in the spirit happens that we don't see, but it's there. It's happening. God works behind the scenes when we as a family sing out loud together. I just think it's so powerful.
I've seen it before, and I might have preached about it here. Sometimes we think that God's presence is on a leash, and if we worship well enough, He comes. Like, oh, God's presence was there today. If we read our Bible, God's presence is everywhere. He's omnipresent. And if you are a follower of Jesus, that presence lives inside of you. So we should get away from this language like the presence of God was there. Because He says you'll go down to Sheol and you'll find Him. So, Sergio, why are there those moments where we use that language? And maybe what we try to express is real and authentic. We just got to get better language for those corporate moments that Eliana's describing, where we're all in unity saying something, and there's a sense of power, there's a sense of something. Yeah. How do you see that?
Yeah, I think I was going to read the scripture, and you quoted it, but I'll read it anyway. So I just think, I think often we because a big part of our senses is what we feel, and like experience is such a big part of being human, and I think often we mistake an experience for the presence of God weeks, we mistake like the goosebumps and the warm fuzzies for his presence. And when we don't feel that, just the way we think, we rationalize, well, that means maybe God isn't present. But like you said, if we read our Bible and we get into the Word, you know, I believe that when I get into the Word, it teaches me about an omnipresent God, a God who is everywhere at all times, always present. Then that makes me think, am I inviting God into a space? Holy Spirit, you can come into this space? Mm. Or am I saying, Lord, thank you for making me aware that you have been here? And Psalm 139, as you quoted, Pierre, says, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. So if I think of that, I think it convicts me, and it makes me think, okay, Lord, help me become more aware of your presence. Because clearly I'm the one that forgets that, and it's not you deciding and being temperamental, like, oh, I'm going to show up for you guys now and or not. So, and then it makes me probably repent, because, Lord, I'm chasing feelings. But, yeah, I think if I think about what this word teaches me about an omnipresent God, and nowhere that I go, he will not be. Lord, make me aware that you're with me here now. And we are thankful for those experiences, but we don't chase after them. We just ask him to make us aware of his presence.
That's great. You want to say something?
That's good, sir. I just wanted to build on something that you said. I think the church has been criticized before, especially I think the modern contemporary church. People say, oh, you just psych people up emotionally with your music. And it's a feeling, and like it's like a sad song or a happy song, and you like you know, it's and it's this big hype. It's not really God's presence. You just kind of hyping everyone up, or you manipulate people with a song, and the piano plays beautiful, and then everyone comes to the front and pray. And yes, there's been that manipulation. We all know you get that side of leaders manipulating or musicians manipulating or performing. But I also want to take it to who created music? Mm. Who created the emotion that comes with music?
It's great.
Who created those beautiful chords to get us to a point of feeling something?
That's great.
And reacting to something. And we've made it such a like a bad thing, like, oh, let's not emotionally manipulate people into something. I think where it gets dangerous and where it's wrong is that when we get people to a certain point into a certain feeling, and then what? Then it's just a feeling, and it ends then. It was like, oh, that was like a Sunday service, and you go back home, and nothing has changed inside of you. You're not closer to Jesus. You're not closer to his word. You don't have a desire to read your Bible or to get closer to him and grow as a Christian. That's, I think, where the emotional psych-up is dangerous.
That's great.
But do you use music? Because a lot of times I struggled with that guilt of like, oh, maybe I'm just psyching people up now. Like, just take a step back. But I'm like, no, God created emotion, music, to wake us up to something, to reveal something. And it's our job to respond to that emotion saying, God, what do you want to tell me?
So
Holy Spirit, what do you want to do inside of me? What are you busy? What's the work that you're busy with? Show me. And not just enjoying whatever, but like, okay, this is God waking me up, waking my emotions up, and what's the next step? What am I going to do with this? So,
that's great.
Yeah, just wanted to say.
I love that. There's so much we can say, but we want to sing. So, I've got one question for each of you. You've got a minute to answer it. A minute to win it. Or a point to win it.
I also stand net like a gefocus geweest.
Almri, do you sometimes lead on a Sunday? And let me make this a little bit more interesting. Like, let's say the same band is on this week, that's next week, and you're on and you're leading this week and next week. And obviously, there might be different people in church this week and that week, but it's not like something crazy happened in a band, like the drummer has fallen into sin. But some Sundays, just it feels like there's faith, and there's, and the other son is like, yes, it means only a sing me. Like, you feel that. And how do you get through that? And why do you think that happens?
I think, love happens. So a lot of times we prepare in the week. We've got this, I'm going to say almost like a build-up of where we want to go on a Sunday. So we have our rehearsals so that we are not focused on the chords, but on Sundays we're actually focused on what's... But then the people are not there. So they come in, they didn't prepare their hearts like they should, like you're saying. Or they had a fight in the car on their way here. So people are not in the same space. I mean, we have prayer before church as well for everybody to pray for people coming already on their way to church. So I think a lot of times we're not on the same page in terms of where we start worship. And that's why you feel that thing as well. And yes, I think people don't feel, they also don't feel right to worship. And that's sometimes why it's a process. It's a leading. So you come in, you feel you had the fight with your wife just now, whatever. And then as we lead through worship, we get there. But I think for us, we also don't just feed on what we see or what we experience from the congregation. We need to search our hearts as well. And then obviously, we all have a responsibility to say, like David, search my heart, Lord. You know, am I at the right place where I can bring my worship to you as well?
That's great. I hear so much heart in what you guys are saying, and I love that because I think it's what it really comes down to. Eliana, what's your heart? Because you lead our music ministry. What's your heart for our congregation? What's your dream? What's your hopes of where we can still grow our music expression?
Sure, that was really a big question that you pitched this week. And there's many things I can say, many amazing things. Like, maybe let's write some songs next year again. Songs that's true to our culture and congregation. Or, I want us to develop our musicians and sing lekker on a Sunday. And, special songs that we've been wanting to do for a long time. Let's do that. And there's lots of lekker stuff, nice things we can do. But it really, in the end for me, it boiled down to just Jesus, more of you.
Come on.
More of Jesus and less of us. I cannot say it enough. And however that looks, and to be open for God, where are you taking us? And not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Yes. So that we... Yes, we instruments and we do the work, but we don't have to strive and make it happen. We can just rest in Him. And my prayer is really also that it's not just like us as leaders, but that participating church, singing and experiencing more and more and more of Him, and less of our own inhibitions, less of our own guilt or feeling inadequate or whatever we are going through, our own pride, or just get rid of our own selves and more of Jesus. That's really my prayer.
That's the best answer. Follow Jesus. We're here for Him. And I'm going to conclude here, and I'm going to give the band an opportunity to get ready to lead us in singing. So can we just give them a hand one more time? As I get ready, I just want to say this, that what I love about what you guys heard here is it's not about perfect musicians that's so schooled and so amazing. These guys carry heart. And there might even be some of you in this room today that you've got a musical gift and you've been in hiding. And maybe it's time for you to join a space where not just your music grows, but your heart in worship can grow. And that's really our hope is, as Elena said, the dream is that all of us grow in this journey of just knowing Jesus more and loving Him more. And I want to remind us of the three things that we read in this Song of Moses as we get ready to sing this morning. Why don't you guys stand as I read it? It's a reminder. And then the band's going to lead us. The first thing that we see is that singing glorifies God, not man. It glorifies God for what He has done. There's so much we can give Him glory to today for what He's done. Secondly, singing delights in God for who He is. Who He is. Just think about Him. To think the name, to say the name. It's just beautiful. Just Him. Love Jesus more. And then singing declares the goodness of God one to another. So let's do those three things for the next few minutes before we carry on our day. Thank Him for what He's done. Enjoy Him. And together, let's declare just how good our God is. Lord, I pray that our worship would be acceptable to You this morning. That our response and just what we've learned from Your word and from conversation this morning, Lord, will lead us to a higher place of expressing with complete gratitude and freedom how amazing You are, Father. We thank You, Jesus. We love You. Let's sing together.